Like to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3, book of Daniel, chapter 3. This morning we looked at first 18 verses. Tonight we want to look at verses 14 through verse 30. We will repeat some of what we said this morning. Daniel chapter 3, verses 14 through verse 30. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if ye be ready, then what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. The form of his visions was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, who changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Again, these verses record a very familiar story. These three men who were Hebrews, who had been snatched away from their homeland by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar, had been snatched away from all that was familiar to them, snatched away from their families, their friends, their resources, and all the comforts that they knew. Again, everything has been left behind. They're some 800 miles away from home. They're living in enemy territory. They have been indoctrinated with a lifestyle and philosophy that was contrary to everything that they had been taught, contrary to everything that they had believed. Everything was being done to change their way of thinking, to change the way they worship, to change the way that they live so that they could serve Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. Everything was being done to cause them to forget their country, to forget their upbringing, to forget their heritage, to forget their religion. And certainly Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have preferred to be home. No doubt about that. Certainly they would have preferred to be at home with their families, to be at home with their friends. Certainly they would have preferred never to have been carried away into captivity. And they find themselves now in a very difficult, a very trying situation. But again, as we preach this morning, their lives are an example. Their lives are an example of unwavering allegiance and commitment and loyalty and devotion and obedience and service to the Lord. But not only that, they are also examples in their faith in the Lord. In fact, I believe they are mentioned with the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Notice if we turn there, keep a mark here in Daniel chapter 3. We'll turn to Hebrews 11. They're not mentioned by name, but in Hebrews 11 verse 33, we read who through faith subdued, and then mentioned some things. But then notice verse 34. You can just read it, who through faith quenched the violence of fire. And certainly this has reference to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were men of great faith. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening, is the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We want to notice several things about their faith, because this is the kind of faith that we need. But behind their allegiance, behind their commitment, behind their loyalty and devotion and obedience and service to God was faith. That's what made them. That's what enabled them to stand. That's what enabled them to not bow. It's what enabled them not to be intimidated by Nebuchadnezzar. It was their faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had great faith. Though they were carried away into Babylon, and though they had lost everything they had, they had never lost their faith. And that is one thing that you and I cannot afford to lose, is faith. Faith. Just keep on believing. So we want to notice several things about their faith, about eight things. Number one, they had a faith that did not judge the situation by outward circumstances. And we see this in several different ways here in Daniel chapter 3. For example, at Dura, when the herald announced to the princes and to the governors and to the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and the rulers of the provinces that at the sound of the music, all were to fall down and bow to the golden image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not judge that situation by the power of Nebuchadnezzar. They did not judge that situation by the authority of Nebuchadnezzar. They judged the entire situation by the power and by the authority of God. And they knew that God had already said that thou shalt not make any graven image, and thou shalt not bow down to any graven image, and thou shalt not serve any graven image. So they did not judge the situation by the power of the king. They did not judge it by the authority of the king. And yet so often you and I find ourselves in situations and we judge the situation by the authority or by the power of man rather than the authority and the power of God. But they had a faith that did not judge the situation by the authority of Nebuchadnezzar. Also, they did not judge the situation by the threat of the king. The king said, if you do not bow, you will immediately be thrown into the fiery furnace. But they didn't judge the situation by the threats of the king. In fact, the threats of the king meant nothing to them. Also, they did not judge the situation by what everybody else was doing. Everyone else was bowing. But they didn't judge the situation by that. And so often, God's people determine what they're going to do by what others are going to do. We're not to judge the situation by what others are doing. We're to judge the situation by what God says. And they knew what God had said. And they were certain about what God had said. And they knew what was right. And they knew what was wrong. So they didn't judge the situation by what everybody else was doing. What everybody else was doing didn't change what was right, didn't change what was wrong. They simply judged the situation by what God had said. Then we see when they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar, they did not judge the situation by any favors that Nebuchadnezzar had bestowed upon them. The Bible says, owe no man anything. And often that is preached that you're not to in a financial end, and certainly there's application there, but the application is far wider than that. You do not become so indebted to man that it hinders you in your service to God, that it even raises a question in your mind, that it becomes a contest between this one that you're indebted to and God. Don't ever get that indebted to anybody. And certainly, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, though they had been carried captive by the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar treated them quite well. But they didn't judge the situation by any favors that Nebuchadnezzar had bestowed upon them. They did not judge the situation by any obligation that they might feel toward Nebuchadnezzar. They simply judged the situation by what God had said. Also, when they were before Nebuchadnezzar, they did not judge the situation by the fact that they were given a second chance. As we saw this morning, Nebuchadnezzar gave them a second chance. And again, I believe that Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to comply because Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to throw them in the fiery furnace. We see in verse 19 that the form of his visage was changed, which tells me that it wasn't so much anger in verse 15 as much as it was astonishment. But we see they didn't judge the situation by the fact that they were given a second chance. You see, many would say, well, God's given us another opportunity. Maybe we ought to rethink this thing. You know, God's in control here, and we have a second chance. Maybe this is God telling us to just go ahead and bow. But they knew better than that because they knew what God said. So they didn't judge the situation by a second chance. And many do that. They'll say, well, you know, the opportunity just keeps on coming. Every time I turn around, the opportunity's there. Certainly it must be God's will. Or it's Satan putting a temptation in your path. But it will not. If it's God, it will not go contrary to God. And bowing down to that image goes contrary to everything that God had told them. So they knew that it was wrong. Secondly, they had a faith that was not threatened or intimidated. At Dura, they were not intimidated by the command of the king. They were not intimidated by the threat of the king. They were not intimidated by the magnificence and by the splendor of all that was going on around them. They were not intimidated by the 90-foot statue that was 90 feet, that was also 9 feet wide. They weren't intimidated by any of those things. Their faith was not threatened. Their faith was not intimidated. Nebuchadnezzar tried to scare them. Nebuchadnezzar tried to intimidate them, but they stood before the king with a very great calm. And they said, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. They stood there in the midst of the threats. And they said, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, and we will not worship the image which thou hast set up. They weren't the least bit intimidated. They were not intimidated by the pressure that was put upon them. And the world will always put pressure on us. And there's times in our life when the world will just kind of tighten down the screws and put more and more and more pressure on us, trying to intimidate our faith. And it doesn't take much to intimidate our faith sometimes. Perhaps a missed paycheck, perhaps the threat of losing a job. And on we could go. The threat of someone not being pleased, or the threat of someone being angry with us. These things sometimes intimidate faith. But not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had a faith that could not be intimidated. How many times people will say, I know I shouldn't bow down to the image, and I don't want to. And I know that God says not to. But God knows my heart, and God has put me in this position, and I don't have any choice. I've got to. And as we said this morning, no, you don't. Don't ever think that you have to disobey God. You don't ever have to disobey God. If we disobey God, it's because we've made that choice to do so. And if we feel that I've got to, there's no other way, then your faith has been intimidated. You need to re-examine your faith. So we need a faith that will not be intimidated, that will not be threatened. Thirdly, they had a faith that could stand in the face of reality. Almost any of us can say things like, if such and such happens, as long as it's not happening right now, is if such and such happens in the future, I'll trust God. But you don't know that for sure. But this was a faith that stood in the face of reality. It's easy to say what we'll do before the situation arrives. It's another thing when we're face to face with, and it's real. And here it was real. The command of the king to bow down to the image, that was real. The threat of the king that if you do not bow down to the image, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, that was real. It was real as they looked around and everybody was bowing to this image. That was real. This wasn't something that they had imagined. They were in the midst of something that was happening, and their faith stood in the face of reality. The power of Nebuchadnezzar, that was real. Certainly Nebuchadnezzar could throw them in the furnace. That was real. They knew that. The authority of Nebuchadnezzar, that was a reality. The furnace was a reality. The possibility of death was a reality. Again, you and I can say, we believe strong enough that we're willing to die. And that's easy to say right now. But when someone's pointing a gun at your head, that's reality. Now it's real. And that's when you need faith. And they had it. It was a faith that faced reality. When you're sick, or when your loved one is sick, that's real. When you have a problem, when you have a trial, when you have a difficulty, you are personally experiencing a problem. You are personally experiencing a trial and a difficulty. That's real. And you need a faith that can face that reality. When you're dealing with a financial loss, that's real. That's a reality. Oh, it's easy to say, well, if I miss 4 or 5 paychecks, I'll just trust God. But when it happens, it's real. It's a reality. And faith is no good unless it can face the realities. Our faith is worthless unless we can face realities. with that faith. When you're threatened with the loss of a job, that's real. That's a reality. When your world is falling apart, that's a reality. When you're having family problems, marital problems, that's real. You can look at someone else's family problems. You can look at someone else's marital problems. And you can say, well, if I was going through that, I would do such and such, and I would trust the Lord. But you're not going through it. But when it's real to you, that's when we're going to sing. That's when we're going to sing what our faith really is. When we've lost a loved one to death, that's reality. When you're facing death, that's reality. Oh, people all the time talk about how they're going to deal with death. You say it's not real. Wait till you get there. Then it's a reality. But there is a faith that can face and that can deal with realities. And this faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was able to face realities. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did what they were supposed to do, and it was real. It was real. Fourthly, they had a faith in the ability of God. They were called before Nebuchadnezzar and was in the face of being threatened. That they said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. They said that in verse 17. You see, faith always knows that God can. Faith always knows that. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the problem, faith knows that God can. When the situation seems insurmountable, faith knows that God can. When the situation appears impossible, faith knows God can. When there doesn't seem to be any way, faith knows that God can make a way. You see, faith always knows God can heal. God can deliver. God can provide. God can put the pieces back together. Faith is always saying that. God can. I can't, but God can. God is able. Faith knows that. But again, it's different when you're in the midst of the reality. And faith says, our God is able. Our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. We don't know what's going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar, you might throw us in that furnace. We don't know. But if you do, our God is able to deliver us. He may not. And again, that's where the but if not comes in.